The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Hello and welcome to episode 3 of Airing of Grievances. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with Micah.
Hey.
All right, so we are back. Third episode. This episode is entitled The Stakeout. Of course, this is the Seinfeld step-by-step, episode-by-episode podcast. And I'm going to make a subtitle of How Seinfeld Relates to Our Personal Lives.
There you go.
I think that's kind of what it's going to end up becoming. So, again, the original air date for this episode is May 31st, 1990, with 22.5 million viewers, which is a big step up from the last one. And in this episode, Jerry begins his ever-growing list of chicks he's trying to bang. I mean, it kind of is. Isn't that pretty much what it's about? So in this episode, Jerry and Elaine, sort of their relationship is explored, right? Because they clearly had dated sort of off screen, and now Jerry feels bad about talking to Elaine about other women. But he sees this other woman when Elaine is around at this dinner party, and he's trying to make something happen. It's a good interaction. And obviously we'll get there and we'll talk about it, but what are your thoughts, Micah, in trying to be friends with somebody who you have dated previously?
No. How about that? How about no? I tried because I thought I could, you know, be friends. So I was in a relationship before my current relationship, and that relationship was around for a long time. And we broke up, and she broke up with me in one of the most disrespectful ways. And that's just not me being, you know, arrogant. Like it was really fucked up.
Yeah, no, I know. That should piss me off.
Yeah. And but I was like, well, you know, we could still be friends. But I didn't necessarily want to be friends, because once we're done, like, we're fucking done. Like, that's just how I'm wired.
Yeah, you're dead to me.
Right. But I pulled the whole let's be friends thing because I wanted one of two things to happen. I wanted to, A, keep tabs on her to make sure that her life isn't...
monster.
To make sure that her life is not better than mine. And, or,
fair enough.
Or B, she would want to get back together. I would say sure, and then bam, turnabout is fair play. I fucking break your heart.
You literally are fucking Dr. Doom. That's fucking hilarious. The best part is anyone listening, he's not really kidding.
No, like, there's no really about it. I'm not joking. Like, that's what I wanted to happen. One of those two scenarios. Like, I had it mapped out in my head how it was going to happen. So, yeah, no, I can't be friends with, I'm barely friends with women, period, let alone friends with a woman that I was in a relationship with. So I don't think it can be done.
One of my favorite movies of all time, actually it is my favorite movie of all time, is When Harry Met Sally. And I like it because it's a long arching story about two characters who you end up really caring about. And it's also well acted and it's funny to me. And it's just a sweet story. That being said, the story's whole premise is, can men and women be friends after hooking up? Or can they just be friends, period, even with, like, sexual tension, that kind of thing, right? And the movie pretty much goes through the loop, you know, goes through all this, like, roundabout shit, and then basically at the end goes, no, they can't. they want to have sex, they want to be with each other, and that's what happens in the end. I am pretty much, I think it's possible.
No.
But, like, for men and women to be friends. But a person that you're serious about and that you break up? Nah, you can't be friends.
No, we can't.
It's impossible.
You've seen me naked. Like, no, we can't be. Like, it doesn't get more intimate than that. And no, we can't be friends.
That's not.
Sorry.
That's not true. Putting your genitals in someone's mouth is definitely more intimate than just a person standing naked in front of you.
You know what I mean. You know what I mean. I was trying to.
I'm just clarifying for the audience. Blowjobs, way, way more personal. Even more personal than sex, I would argue. Well, yes. No, I would stake that argument. So. Yeah, I think Elaine in Jerry's relationship is clearly that of a TV show.
Oh yeah.
Impossible.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I don't know that they were that serious either.
Yeah, they might not have been serious. They might have just was like they might have just went on a couple of dates and just realized, "Hey, you know, this isn't necessarily for us."
Yeah.
So, maybe. Elaine, a little backstory on Elaine. She's from Maryland. She's from Towson.
That is correct.
Yeah, and her original name was Eileen.
I don't think I care for that name.
Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, they have chosen to remain friends, which is bizarre to me. And they agree to go to parties together. So if she, what was it? If he went to a birthday, if he went to a wedding, she would go to a birthday party with him or something like that.
If he went to her friend's birthday party, she would go to a family wedding.
Yeah. Yeah.
A family member's wedding.
And at the party, he meets, this woman whose name is Vanessa, and he's trying to chat her up. But Elaine is just like cock blocking. You know what I mean? And she's not doing it on purpose, I don't think.
No, she's not. But that scene where she's talking to him about some fucking dream and you get like Jerry's voice over in his head and he's like, this is brutal. Like, what is she doing? Like, shut the fuck up. I mean, there are times in this show where I really wish that it like they had cursing and things like that, because it would have been just so good. Like, he's basically giving her like, you need to shut the fuck up right now. I'm trying to get laid, kind of face he gives her. But she's like, I had a dream and you were you, but not you, where you had wooden teeth. He's like, what? Like, what the fuck dream? Like, I don't care. The dream is madness.
As a woman, you have way more female friends than I will ever care to have ever.
Yeah. That's cause I'm married.
And and so, but in your younger days, you had more. Did a woman ever try? One, did you ever have a mutual female friend? And two, not a mutual, like a what's the word I'm looking for? Platonic. Did you ever have a platonic female friend? And
yes.
Two, did she try to cock block you?
No, yes, I've had a platonic female friend, but no, I have never been, my cock has never been in fact blocked by said, Pluto friend. No, I believe in, when I was single, I believed in keeping a platonic, female friend. I feel like it's a way to get information on the enemy. It's fucking reconnaissance. Like, what would you think of this? Like, that's what I use it for, you know? And also, I was friends with them, like, legit friends. But, no, I never had the whole cock blocking thing. But I guess that's because, like, they dated. But, no, I think that would be grounds for dismissal. Like, if I'm trying to make something happen, shut the fuck up.
I mean, like, never, like, inadvertently either. Like, you're going to, like this, you go into a party and you see somebody you like or even a guy friend, because guys do this also. Guys who,
yeah, that is happening,
fucking
to me.
Get it. Like, they're like, oh, hey, bro. Hey, pay attention to me, bro. Bro, 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 bro. Yeah. And I'm, okay. All right.
That would be that time. Like, oh, shit, dude, let me tell you something. Shut the fuck up. I'm trying to get laid. Yeah, I have definitely had dudes who just, like, clueless, like, be my wingman here, dude, or shut the fuck up and get out of the way.
Right.
Yeah, that's definitely happened, but no, not by a woman. But yeah, I think Elaine is pretty innocent in this, but oh, she walks right in the way. Just right in the way. So Jerry actually is like really into this woman. By the way, the 1990s. No one at this table is attractive. They're like, Jerry says some shit like, she's amazing. I was like, amazing? She's the most like a classic five if I've ever seen one. on a scale from one to really mediocre. Like, she's a five.
Yeah, she looks like someone's mom.
Everyone looked like someone's mom in the fucking 1990s. They all dressed like fucking 65-year-olds. Nobody was wearing leggings. Look, young people, you're living in the future, man. Chicks are walking out here with leggings on as pants, their entire ass out. Women are doing squats. It's an amazing time to live, okay? Right. Like, hey, look, this is the time we grew up in, with fucking moo-moos and everybody wearing blazers nine sizes too goddamn big. It was an awful time.
Fucking jumpers.
Yeah, dude, come on, man. And that was considered cool at the time, with fanny packs.
Looking like right? A fucking plumber. Was considered exactly. Looking cool.
Yeah, you're living in the future, people. Look, if people are like, if you're 25 and you're like, oh, I'm tired of leggings, shut up. That's why older guys are like, what are you doing? Are you trying to ruin this for us? It's great. They wear it at my job, and I'm like, you're at work. Like, you're not even wearing a shirt long enough to cover your ass. Like, you're at work. I'm like, please continue, but like, you're at work. It's quite funny. Yeah, so this is the first time you actually get to meet Jerry's parents. Of course, they do, in fact, change the actor who plays Morty, his father. I forget the guy's name originally, but...
Philip Bruns plays Morty Seinfeld, and later...
Barney Martin.
Morty is played by Bernie Martin. Barney Martin. Yeah.
Barney Martin. Right. Do you prefer this guy who plays Morty or the later?
Oh, Barney Martin all the way, man. That guy is hilarious.
Yeah. I think his personality fits more with Jerry's personality. Like, you can, like, you know what I mean? Like, he has those, like, what are you doing? Kind of, like, moments that makes more sense for him to be his dad.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's very silly Jewish. He's very silly old man Jew.
Yeah, no, he absolutely is. No, I definitely prefer him. I forget when this original guy is no longer playing the character, but I certainly appreciate Barney's job much more.
Yeah.
So Jerry is like, this woman leaves with a guy from this dinner party that they're at, and so Jerry's like, damn it, you know, I couldn't get this woman's phone number, trying to make something happen. And he does find out like which law firm she works at, which is Sagman Bennett Robbins Oppenheimer and Taft, which he just keeps saying over and over in his head because he's a giant child. And he comes off with some pretty decent opening lines, like some good jokes or whatever. I mean, they're cheesy, but like, they work for him.
Yeah.
Somehow they work. And so at this point, Elaine is pretty pissed off. She thinks that he was ignoring her or whatever. I'm like, Elaine, my man's trying to, you're trying to fuck it up for him. He's right. Trying to make something happen.
Like stop. Just,
like, get on board or get out of the way. So then Elaine and Jerry are supposed to go to a wedding, a family member's wedding. And so they meet up and Elaine is like, oh, you know, I thought it was not cool, you know, that you, well, oh, actually, I'm skipping ahead. So what happens is Jerry's parents give him the advice to go stake out Sagman, Bennett, Robbins, Oppenheimer, and Taft, stake out their office and see if she comes out for lunch so he can bump into her.
Okay, hold on.
This is creepy as fuck.
God damn it.
Tell me how you've done it.
Okay. So again, I'm a very, back in the day, like, I didn't know what to do. Like, I knew I liked women, but I just did not know how to talk to them.
So this was post being delivered. Okay.
Yes. Cool. This was post being delivered. and I remember there was this one. Okay. Now tell me if this is creepy. This doesn't sound creepy.
Go ahead.
So there was this woman most of my relationships were with women that I worked with in retail, right? And there was this one girl that I liked, and yeah, I once I finally got up the nerve to kind of try and introduce myself, you know, I wanted to do it on a day that I was off, but I knew that she worked, so that, you know, I could beat cheeks just in case, you know, something goes wrong. or something goes right and I leave on a high note. So I went up to Target and I just kind of sat in the parking lot and waited for her to come out.
Really?
When she got off work. That's not creepy, is it? Because we both worked there, so I had an excuse to be there. And
hold. How long were you waiting outside?
Well, I had her schedule, so I knew she was getting
Jesus
off
Christ, dude. I had her schedule. That's fucking creepy.
Well,
I'm sorry. Continue. Let me evaluate it.
I had her schedule because I worked security. So, I could see everything.
Again, not creepy at all. Again.
So I had a schedule. So I would come up there and I waited around for about an hour because I had to try and, you know, go through what I'm going to say in my head and just try to figure out how I'm going to do this. Right. Because I'm not used to talking to people, let alone women that I want to have sex with. So that's not creepy. Right. Like, I had an excuse to be there. I knew her name. We had a common thing about us, the job. And yeah, so I'm justified, right? Jerry didn't even know her. Jerry didn't even know her name.
That's true. Jerry did not know her name. The question is, honest, I think we should do this on a scale of 1 to creepy. or a scale of 1 to 10 on a creepy scale of 1 to 10. Yeah, I'm going to go with that's solid 7.5, bro. That's solid 7.5. And no, 10 is not creepy. 10 is very creepy.
10 is the maximum amount of creepage.
Yes. You're at a solid 7.5. You sat in the parking lot for how long?
About an hour, because I had to.
If you had said like 5 minutes, I would have been like, that would have knocked you to like a 3. You said that for an hour. What did you do for an hour?
Just going, writing.
Smell
down,
her panties that you stole. You fucking creep show.
I had to memorize, you know, what I'm going to say, and I can't do it at home because there's way too many distractions at home. You know what I mean? So I said, all right, well, the best thing for me to do is just go out there so I can be focused. You know what I mean? Why are you laughing?
I feel like my score. I'd like to change my score. I'm gonna go 8.5. I'm going 8.5. That's not acceptable. It's not acceptable behavior. Now, as the show will go on, I will tell stories, I'm sure, that are equally not as acceptable, and there will be scales, and I will be on the closer side of 10 than I am on 1. So, you know, I don't mean to throw shade, but that's pretty fucking creepy, sir. It's pretty goddamn creepy. So, there you go. There you go. God damn it. Not acceptable. Not acceptable, man. So from there, Jerry and George take this advice and they go to the lobby of
Segment Bennett Robbins Oppenheimer Taft.
Thank you. And when they go there, they have a conversation before they run into Vanessa. Which George, I think this is George hitting his stride as a character. Like, this is the beginning of that stride. And this is him talking about how he wants to be known as, because right now he sells real estate, and he wants to be known as an architect, and that they're meeting with their importer exporter friend, Art Vandelay. And like they're having a conversation about how Jerry doesn't see George as an architect, and George is like, as if you could be an architect. Like they're just going back and forth. Like it is perfect. It is a perfect real introduction into the George Costanza character and how much of an unbelievable liar he really is. It's great. And so they run into this woman, and right before they speak with her, George turns to Jerry and he's like, I forgot who I'm supposed to be. He's just like, he's lost everything. And so they have the most ludicrous conversation. George is like, by the way, I'm an architect. Like, who talks like that? Like, he's just like slamming in all of the points that they were discussing. And the woman's like, okay. And so of course, Jerry, this smooth motherfucker, basically, what's his line? Hey, do you date immature men? And yeah, she says almost exclusively, and that's how he wins her over. Which is, you know what? It's a pretty good fucking line.
It's pretty clever, man.
Yeah. Like, look, maybe 2 years ago, I actually saw Jerry Seinfeld do stand up. He still got it, dude. Like, he's a clean comic, but he just knows how to hit, like, observational comedy. Like, he knows how to hit comedy beats, like, really well. Like, that's just something he does well. And clearly, like, the entire show, the entire premise of the series is him just working out that material week after week.
Yeah, like, that's, like, people think that this is a show about nothing. It was originally a show about how a comic got ideas for bits, which is why you see the stand-up bits in between the shows. And right, they all relate back to the show itself.
Right, exactly. Which is a clever, I mean, honestly, as much as, you know, some people like the show, some people don't like the show. And there doesn't seem to be a lot of like mid ground. Like, you either really like it or you really don't. Yeah. Which is fine. But what's interesting is this show has become kind of a blueprint for a lot of shows after it. I mean, honestly, there's a lot of shows that aren't really about anything.
Yeah.
They're just not. I mean, arguably 30 Rock steals a lot from this same style. It's just events that happen in an office. Or The Office, for instance, is just events that happen. It's not really about anything specific.
Yeah, there's no overarching goal that needs to be achieved. And, you know, I think that in a day and age where everybody wants everything to be interconnected and all that, like, it's cool to just have like a one-off. It's cool to just jump into something, not necessarily know anything about it, and be entertained by it.
Yeah. And they do a really good job of it. So sort of wrapping this episode up. So, you know, like, Elaine finds out that that Jerry went and did this stakeout to hook up with this woman, or to try to make something happen with this woman. And she's pretty pissed about it. And they meet up right before this wedding that they're going to. And she kind of calls him out about it. But they come to this great understanding of like how it's okay to talk about like people that they're interested in.
Yeah.
And the reason why she's really okay with it, it's because she wants to talk about dudes that she's interested in, which again plays to the whole idea that they're all self-centered assholes and they don't care about anyone else. They only care about themselves.
Right.
So, and that's how the episode ends, giving the precedent for the rest of the entire series, that they're very open with each other. And I like that they don't go back and like keep hammering at an idea. Like, they take the idea, they work on it, they fix it, and then they move on.
Yeah.
So,
couple of notes. Art Vandelay was originally, George originally came up with the concept of Art Vandelay in this episode, which literally is called back even in the final episode.
Yep.
This is the first episode where George displays his proclivity for pretending to be an architect.
but it certainly would not be the last.
The plot is drawn, as are many, from incidents in Larry David's life. He once staked out a woman's workplace because he wanted to meet her and didn't have any other information.
Again, what score are you giving that on a scale of 1 to 10? Larry David standing out there. We can't interrupt the intercourse. It's too important. Yeah, that'd be an 8.5, Larry.
Elaine and Jerry are in a video store, and Jerry picks up an adult video. The adult video is called Emerald Dimples, which is a real video released in 1985, according to the Internet Adult Film Database.
So what's your son do? He's a public fornicator. It's a fucking great line. Yeah, look, that video store in the beginning is hilarious because their adult section, it's just out in the open. It's not even behind a curtain. That's how they rolled in the 90s, guys, in case you didn't know. Porn just straight out in the open. This was all before 9/11, before things changed forever.
Oh, man. In case anyone was wondering, Emerald Dimples stars Bunny Blue.
I was wondering.
Lynn Carter, Misty Reagan, and Herschel Savage.
Emerald Dimples?
Yes.
Dimples. I'm going to look this up.
They have no other information on it other than
yeah,
than,
nope.
The name.
The literally stars. the first thing that comes up is a Seinfeld reference. that's funny. Your porn has been relegated to Seinfeld. Have you ever, you know, just before we go, have you ever rented pornography?
Not rent. No, I've bought and stolen, but never rented.
Bought and stolen. I like that you stole porn.
Well, you know, how else am I going to get it?
You can purchase it. I mean, now who buys porn now? No, right?
Like now, who, like, if you buy porn now, you're a dummy.
I don't even get it. Like, I don't understand. Look, and it's been a big argument of the porn company. They're like, we're losing so much money because of these like YouTube type sites, and I'm like, yeah, and it's great. I wish I had more time. I'm sorry, but get out of here. Like, why would anyone pay for porn? It's so weird.
Yeah, you're a moron if you pay
for porn. I remember talking to a friend of mine. He's like, yeah, you know, I paid for a yearly subscription to this. I was like, hold, what? Why? He's like, I really like this chick. I was like, she's probably taking it in the butt on some YouTube site for free. Just probably, Google her name.
That same scene that you're savaging your body to is literally on X videos right now.
Yeah. Hello, McFly. Duh. Like it's all out there, man. I can't stress it enough. Don't pay for pornography. If you learn nothing from this podcast, do not pay for porn. All right, that is it. That was a very weird segment, but it somehow made sense. All right, we will be back next week for episode 4, The Robbery, which is I think one of the best episodes of season 1.
Yeah.
All right. We will see you guys next week.
See ya.
Really?